Let us pray.
My country's skies are bluer than the ocean, and sunlight beams on cloverleaf and pine. But other lands have sunlight too, and clover, and skies are everywhere as blue as mine. O, hear my song, thou God of all the nations, a song of peace for their land and for mine. Amen. America is a country of immigrants and rascals, former slaves and pirates, and all of us, in one way or another, are on a journey to the promised land. No wonder images of home resonate so deeply with us. On some level, we're always trying to find our way there. Dig a little, and you realize that most of us left a narrow, painful place to come to this land of wide open promise. And if we didn't, then maybe our ancestors did. And if our forebears were forced here, then maybe our generation can finally be the one that redeems their struggle. Even native peoples didn't begin here, I'm told, probably walking over what was then a land bridge that once existed, or traversing a narrow channel of water between Russia and Alaska, no doubt looking for their own ancient version of a better life. The American story then is a spiritual story of hope, and I'm especially aware of that when a day like the 4th of July happens to fall so close to Sunday. The way of this country is to move step by step toward freedom. On our best days, it's to ensure that all people are free in every land from oppression or degradation of any kind. And it's no surprise that we borrowed this vision from Abraham and Moses and Jesus. You remember Emma Lazarus' poem? The one that's carved into the base of the Statue of Liberty. Well, it could have been spoken by Elijah or Elisha or the prophet Isaiah. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient land, your storied pomp, she cries with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And isn't that part of the image that each of us holds when we're trying to find our way home, that somebody is staying up with the light on? On our worst days, our hearts are not quite so open, and we distance ourselves from sisters and brothers who struggle just a few miles south of here or within our own families. But until the whole of Baltimore is one, a shining city on a hill for all the people who live and die on our streets, then we've got work to do together. The words of two more American heroes, one totally unsung, hardly remembered, and the other a great wartime president, have much to say to us, I think, on this Independence Day eve. Maximilian Hodder was born in Kiev. In the 1930s, he was a film director who worked in the early motion picture industry in Poland, Czechoslovakia, and France.
During World War II, while serving in the Polish army, he was arrested by the secret police and deported to Siberia. After years in a prison camp, he escaped and made his way eventually to America and California, which we all know is really the promised land, right? Where he joined there, the movie industry, in Hollywood. In the 1950s, he was famous enough that Edward R. Murrow invited Hodder onto his radio program to speak about his journey to the United States. "What do you believe?" Murrow asked him. Hodder responded in heavily accented English. To state clearly and honestly one's beliefs in a few hundred words is a large order in anyone's language, particularly so if it is not your original language and if you've experienced a number of very personal tragedies.
But he made a stab at it.
He said, "Ever since my adolescent mind began to comprehend the complexities of our daily life, I looked upon human beings as having some specific mission on earth to fulfill. I looked for perfection,
for love, for understanding. I believed in human beings."
Then one day, from the world of a carefree, happy life of a young, up-and-coming writer, director in pre-war Poland, I was thrown first into the Nazis and later the communist world of hatred, tyranny, murder, and destruction. Human being ceased to be what I believed it was destined for, as I became the raw material in a soap factory, an implement in a five-year plant, a guinea pig in a biological laboratory. I lost my country and my family and my belief in human beings. All of that crushed, and I became bitter and cynical and sad. Then came the third and, to me, perhaps the most significant period of my life so far here in America. From the moment that the immigration officer at LaGuardia Airport shook my hand and wished me good luck, I again began to see that life can have sunshine. I've made true friends, and they've proven themselves when I needed them most. They've given food and clothes for victims of floods. A group of GIs adopted an orphan and sent him to school. Neighbors built a new home for a victim of fire. Community Chest, Cancer Fund, Salvation Army, Alcoholics Anonymous, and 1,000 other such acts or associations, all voluntary, collective, and individual, they've left an indelible mark on me. They've given me a new lease on life. I believe in humankind again. I now believe that there's more good than evil, more of those who create or wish to create than those who destroy, more of those who love than those who hate. And Hodder concludes his essay this way: "I believe in an inalienable right of the individual to live the life of his or her choice, the right to work or rest, to smile or cry, to succeed or fail, to pray or play. But a great Polish poet said, the nectar of life is sweet only when it's shared with others. So I therefore also believe that it's my duty to contribute in whatever way I can to the ongoing struggle of those who are still oppressed and to bring them some modicum of hope so that they too may one day be born again into a life of freedom." This almost forgotten exile saw in the American dream a promise held out to all people, that no one is free unless all people are free. No one is free unless all of us are free. Every toehold that any of us achieves is meant only to steady ourselves for the moment as we reach out to the next person who needs our help. And in that same moment of darkness through which Hodder walked, an American president lit a beacon of hope for our common human destiny. In his State of the Union address on January 6, 1941, President Roosevelt said, "In the future days, which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world found upon four essential human freedoms. The first is freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world. The second is freedom of every person to worship God in his or her own way everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want, which means that economic understandings will secure that each person can have what they need to have shelter and food enough
and peace.
And the fourth is freedom from fear, which he said in 1941 means a reduction of armaments to such a point and in such a fashion that no nation will be in a position to commit an act of physical aggression against any neighbor, anywhere in the world. 1941. And that's no vision of a distant millennium or some future promised land, he said. Rather, it's the basis for the kind of world available in our own time and our own generation. Roosevelt's wisdom was in seeing that our country's future was wrapped up in the cause of mankind. No one is free unless all are free. My country's skies are bluer than the ocean, and sunlight beams on clover leaf and pine, but other lands have sunlight too, and clover, and skies are everywhere as blue as mine. Maximilian Hodder has now faded from memory. Does anyone know his name? Has anyone ever heard of him? If you Google him, you get only one response. Actually, you get 148,000 hits if you Google him. But they're all for the same essay from which I just quoted. There's no list of credits from movies or otherwise to attribute to his name. But his resolute, lyrical words recorded 65 years ago on a scratchy radio broadcast echo the voice of everyone who wanders and finally finds his way home. Proud to be there. More than that, he articulates a call to build a home for all those who are seeking to be free, whether they're imprisoned by a lawless country across the ocean or shackled by domestic violence, substance abuse, mental illness, or prejudice right across town or across our own breakfast tables. When Jesus sent his followers out two by two, with no purse or bag, he was calling us to do the same work. He told them, with my spirit and each other, you have all that you need. In Christ, there is no male or female, no Jew or Greek, no slave or free. Build a world then with no borders, where all people are treated with dignity, he tells us, no matter what anybody has or doesn't have. In Christ, it doesn't matter where you come from. Or in Baltimore, it doesn't even matter where you went to high school. It matters where you're going. And unless all of us get there together, it won't be God's vision of the promised land. On 4th of July Eve, it's good for the followers of the way to remember that the promised land is never any one country. It's not even a place, really. And building the promised land isn't about achieving our own personal freedom. Rather, the journey that Jesus modeled and that God calls us to now is to give up our lives if we have to, so that the other, even the enemy, can be safe and loved and free. There are no borders in the promised land that God asks us to realize. And only when we live that way are we ever truly home. Amen.